missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots. Feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. This is it. The penultimate, the final countdown before the day. This is my last show that we're going to be doing before the draft kicks off tomorrow. So as soon as I finish this show, it is pack up the whole studio, transport everything. I'm going to be down at Broadway Studios pretty much all day and evening, setting up, getting everything ready for the draft events, day one and day two at Broadway Studios. If you haven't got your tickets yet, 40hoursrushroadtrip.com. Links in the description of the video, audio, wherever it is. Come party with us. D'Amador Lenore is coming out. Going to be great. So this is my final pre-draft whatever. And it's been a journey. Let's just be very, very honest. From, you know, you get to kind of week 13 of the season, the 49ers get eliminated right after that. And then it was, man, time to start. Like, I tried to hold off as much as I could from, like, doing mock drafts and draft work while the 49ers were still playing. But when the playoff contention ended, we jumped in, you know, both feet into draft preparation. And we have worked our tail ends off, the entire 49ers Rush team, at, you know, building our big board, 343 players, doing our full draft book. And shout out to everybody who has been diving into it this week and sending me so many kind words and how, you know, it makes the draft better and all that stuff. And if you haven't got your draft book yet, that's up on the 40hoursrush.com and our Patreon page. And if you're not a subscriber, you can just go to our Patreon and you can just buy it. It's $20. Trust me, I think it's like 400 pages with whatever. It's all there, charts, graphs, whatever else. Increase, enhance your draft experience. That's what it's designed to do. Every single player, 343, rated 1 to 10 on a 49ers scale, draft write-ups, comps, you name it, stats, academic reports, off-field reports, family history. It's stupid what we were able to put together. But, like, I'm tired. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. But it's a good thing because it's a labor of love, and the community is always first and foremost. We don't make very much money on these things, but we do them every year because we love it. and the positives that we get back. So this is episode 1403, the 49ers Rush Podcast. And man, we're going to be covering a lot today. OTA reports, John Lynch presser. I'm going to go over what I think the final big board is for the 49ers at pick 11. Our predict the pick series. I'm going to give you a couple guys that I think you got to include. Shout out to my man, David R. He went through some possible trade back scenarios. It's going to be really, really hard to trade back from 11. But we went through, here are the situations. What if an offensive tackle falls? What if a wide receiver falls? What if a running back? What if a quarterback? What those options are and what that would look like if you can trade back. And then we're going to complete it with some of my favorite draft props. If you, for the betting crowd, and even if you're not a bettor, I think that how we see the draft unfolding, and we've posted all of those bets on the 40hoursrush.com and on our Patreon. They're up on there for any level of supporter, subscriber. Those are already on there. So you can go check those out and you can bet those, bet along with us. We've done really well on draft betting in the past, and I hope that that will continue. Shout out to everybody showing up, man. It's been a while since I've done a solo show. Everybody, I love the fact that we do our draft work and then people are like, hey, we want to have you on for to talk to draft stuff, which I love. And I try my hardest not to say no to a lot of those. But yeah, it's been a while since it was just you and me. You know what I mean? There's nobody else here. Just you and me. anyway, sorry. I was going to get carried away with that. But thank you for everybody showing up. All the hashtag CCs, our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers, George, 365, David Gill. I love it. I love it. I love it. Joe says, how many mock drafts have you done this year? Every time I've done a mock draft, it's been with you. So it's a lot, but I don't do them on my own. So I don't like sit there because I want to go through the process with you. But we've done too many. Let's just be very, very honest. I much prefer playing deep into the playoffs and having a shortened draft window. It's harder to get the work done, but I prefer that better. What's up, David? David R. There he is, the man. What's up, Ben? Appreciate everybody showing up. Yes, hashtag CCs. What's up, Shane? Arizona Empire in the house. David Gill, one more day before the draft. The 49ers get their next all-pro player. Gosh, man, that would be so nice. So nice to get another all-pro. We've got a lot with the biggest, largest collection of all-pro players in the NFL still on a roster. The 49ers still have that. I think the Eagles are right behind us. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. Yeah, story says, you know, I'm tapped out on mocks. For the 49ers actual big board won't even be close to what the fans have. We have limited information. It's just what it is. What's up, David Walder? Lieutenant Simplejack, my man. Speaking of mock drafts, Lieutenant Simplejack sent me a mock draft this morning. And hey, the tea leaves are there with, guess what? Mason Graham, you know, and again, it's line season. Could Mason Graham fall? Well, we're going to go through whenever I build out what I think the 49ers big board is. I want to see what that looks like because, yeah, it's quite possible. Yeah, I would be very, very happy. Thank you, John, for the kind words. I really do appreciate it. yeah, we going. And it's draft miss Eve. I love it. Carlos, my brother, man, from Mexico City. Yeah, so glad to see you here. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. So anyway, let's dive in. Let's get with some positives. I just absolutely love the fact how OTA started. It's not even like on the field work or whatever else, but so many positives. Brock Purdy reported despite the contract. Trent Williams showed up. Like, I truly did feel that Trent Williams would be back this year, but you never know. You got to remember, Joe Staley retired day two of the NFL draft. We didn't even know about that. So just the fact that Trent is there, that is a huge sigh of relief. You know, that's there. Fred Warner showed up. I know that he's got, you know, a couple years on his deal, but he's younger. I'd like that extension to get done. CMC said, quote, he's fully healthy, end quote. Similar things were said last year at this point. So I understand taking that with a grain of salt, but any news, the fact that he's there, the fact that, you know, coming off not one, but two injuries, that's huge. If the 49ers are going to have a successful season this year, CMC has to be involved much more so than he was last year. And probably the only negative, and again, I think it comes with a caveat, George Kittle didn't show up, but George Kittle doesn't usually show up to this portion. Usually the on-field workouts, and speculation always runs amok in this situation, and people put it out there. You know, Diane Rossini, who I think is probably one of the closer to accurate reporters, she nailed the Trent situation, nailed the Ayuk situation, all that different stuff. Nailed the Debo situation, nailed the Debo for the defensive tackle, Jonathan Allen, which did, like, she nailed all those situations. She came out and put out, you know, he wants to be the highest paid, and this is a contract related issue why he's not there. And Trent and George Kittle responded, "Your source is incorrect," end quote. So if I'm going to give her props when she's correct, you got to give her the opposite, right? That's accountability. That's what we try to do here. So that's good news. So it does seem that Kittle's not demanding top of the market money, which he should. He's the best. And it's not that he's away because of contract issues. I don't think that's it. Kittle's fine. So, like, even the one damper, if you wanted to put a damper on it, kind of is a little diluted as well. So that's good. So Purdy, Warner, Trent, CMC, Kittle, positive. And after last offseason with just all the negatives, all the contracts, and maybe these contracts all go that route, the 49ers continue to low ball and low pitch almost everything. That seems to be what it is. But this is good. Any positive is a good thing. And we need those things after last year. So Mucky Boy says, you know, I wouldn't think the Niners would fumble extending Kittle, but this latter offseason has been a bit of a head scratcher. Interesting to see any tight end picks if no Kittle news. I have had the 49ers drafting a tight end no matter what. Before the Luke Farrell signing, I thought they'd draft two tight ends. After, I think they'll draft one. There is still a need for tight end three, a move tight end that can work in the passing game. The good news, there's plenty of these. There are plenty of these in the draft available. So I do think that they draft one tight end. And now if they go out there and draft two, yeah, that's, you know, but if they're late round tight ends, you do have 11 picks. That's kind of what it is.
Springtime is here and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So, sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com or you can go to the app, download the app today, and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And thank you, Story. Yeah, my big board's not going to be the same as the 49ers. I don't have access to their information. I think it should go without saying, but obviously it did not. So, Story, let me put this out there. This is my interpretation on the 49ers' needs and the draft prospects, which we've done a lot of work on. So I think that we have an educated guess, and that's what we're going with, right? This is speculative. It has to be. I'm not involved in the rooms. Now, the one thing that I will say that I took away from the John Lynch press conference, which most of it was really non-beneficial to fans. You know, John Lynch has perfected the politician word salad, whatever you want to call. That's not a negative. It's just, early on, you could figure out things from John Lynch's press conference. You can't anymore. He's now an experienced vet at being a general manager and not giving out information. And even whenever he does, it's cryptic and whatever else. But the one thing that I did take away from that I thought was beneficial was the more and more he talked about the draft process the 49ers go through. That I thought was cool. Wherever he talked about, he's like, yeah, later today we have our stand on the table meeting where guys literally stand on the table and they give their three players that they are convicted about, whether it's the scout, the coach, personnel, whatever. They go through it. Everybody, who are your three guys that you are convicted about? And that's huge. And so I love that. I thought that was really, really cool. He talked about how the 49ers have 200 draftable grades and 20 first round grades. Now that's not too far off from where I am. Now I had 30 first round grades, but I have 6 red flag players. I can't remove players from my big board. Right. So like, again, back to Stovey here, my big board's different. I don't pull players. I flag them, but I don't allow that to affect their grades on there. Because again, I am judging, I have to write these profiles for everybody, and I don't know who the 49ers have removed and have not. So I have 30 first round grades, but 6 are flagged. So essentially 24. And then like, okay, do you put a grade on Cam Ward? Do you put a grade on guys like Shedeur Sanders, who is not a first round grade for me? Like, right. These are questions. Do you put, you know, 3-4 players or guys that don't fit, like Tyler Booker? I do have a first round grade on. No way that dude plays in a zone scheme. There's no way. So I think that the numbers are relatively close. And yeah, my big board's not going to be like theirs. But I do think that we have put in the work to where we could have a voice and speak on it to try to educate fans. That's the goal here, right? Doesn't mean we're right. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying that we have done the work to be able to entertain this idea, if that makes sense. But yeah, our boards are going to be off. Cynthia, appreciate you so much. She says, hashtag CC, my annual draft prep equals downloading the 49ers Rush Draft Guide. Thank you, Sin. I'm so excited. And again, man, I got to look at my calendar. I haven't made the graphic on this yet. So we have the draft Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll be going live Thursday, probably around pick 5. And then we'll be live all day, day 2. Me, Aunt, Charles, some other people. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then day 3, we'll be jumping on sparingly when the 49ers make their selections. Now, the last day of April, April 30th, we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout where we go through our draft together and I get to hear from you. That's going to be 5:30. That's on a Wednesday, April 30th, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. That's going to be a fun time. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. Yeah, defensive line has to be at the top. Oscar, appreciate you, man. I've been doing some final mocks. I'm growing on the idea of drafting best available 11, taking a chance on Will Johnson. Yeah, if you're high on Will Johnson, you don't care about the speed, you don't care about the injuries, he definitely should be going in that territory. I have an issue with the injuries, but his ceiling's off the charts. Off the charts. Vince, Ashton Jinty's not going to the Cowboys. Someone should trade up for him. We're going to talk about those situations a little bit later. Leonardo, he says, yeah, just got back from the gym. Catching you live. Appreciate it. Hopefully you had a good workout, man. I love it. I love it. Today I'm skipping my workout today, but I'm going to be hauling stuff around and putting up tables and chairs, so I'll be burning some calories. It's all right. It's all right. Niners on the Go podcast. Go check them out. Like all 49ers content, but we've been on the same page a lot, JC. Hey, minds together, baby. Birds of a feather. I appreciate that. It's a good thing to be in agreement with you. Jeff, John, I honestly think end of the day, going to this draft with the mindset of get 10-plus year players for us and find positions of need. I think that a lot of times people don't spend time on what your goals are, right? And again, you know, I've harped on the idea of the goal of this draft should be to get starters and hitting it down the fairway, not swing and miss. If you plugged a bunch of your holes in free agency like they have in the past, then you could swing. And I will go back to this. I hate the way the Trey Lance thing played out. It was a total miss. But I don't hate the logic behind it and why they did it. they were swinging for the best roster with the top tier ceiling quarterback, and it missed. And the dude, you know, hardcore work ethic, elite skill set, blah, 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 blah. Just never processed. Couldn't process the game. The COVID year definitely didn't help. But, man, if Trey Lance would have hit, you're talking multiple Super Bowls. I don't mind that. But now you go to what we've done this offseason. You haven't plugged any holes. You don't have a starting defensive tackle. You don't have a starting defensive end. You don't have a third corner. Even if you love D winners, you don't have a number three linebacker. That's a lot of holes to go into a draft with. So the goals, I'm with you here, Jeff. You need starters. And almost need starters more than you need all pros. Obviously, you want both. But my philosophy in this draft, and hopefully that was kind of replicated through all the mock drafts and conversations we've had with others, you need players and you need starters. Yeah, you want all pro players across the board, but the goal is to get guys who can start for a long time. You want Dominique Pounis, you want Malik Mustafas, you want Renardo Greens. That's what you want. Ricky Pearsall, you need those guys. Now, you can hope some of those become Dominique Pounis that could contend for Pro Bowl All-Pro. He's on that trajectory. But, man, you need starters. Now, I do like your idea, and one of the questions is, you know, do you go for an All-Pro or do you go for a 10-year starter? With this draft, you're going 10-year starters. That's what you want. You want starters. Now, 10-year starter is hard to do. There's not a 10-year starter on the 49ers currently. Nick Bosa is the current only player that is under contract through his 10th season with the 49ers. He's the only one. Now, if George Kittle extension gets done, he would be the first to get there. Kyle Juszczyk's close. Kyle might be there now, actually. I may be wrong on that because after the change took place, and they released him and brought him back. Yeah, he's been with us for 8 years. So, yes, I was incorrect. Kyle Juszczyk is under contract currently if he plays out this contract. But, man, salary cut, then redid. Can you bet on him playing for 2 more years? I don't know. I hope he does. So, Kyle Juszczyk's under contract for 10 years. Nick Bosa's under contract for 10 years. That's it. Currently. There's not another player. So, it is beyond rare to get 10-plus year starter guys. Doesn't mean you can't do it. And so, yeah, you know, the 49ers use the demarcation gold helmet player. We use Rush Crush. I think that should be the plan as well. Like, I do not want wild. I want, man, let's hit some freaking doubles. That's what I want. Kyle, I just emailed you, brother. He says, on a plane currently flying in for the draft party, he was one of our trivia winners that somebody gave away free tickets to the draft party. Thank you. So many people who have done that. And yeah, the generosity of so many great people. Now Kyle's coming in for the draft party. He's going to meet D'Amador Lenore. Like, how cool is that? And look, if you or somebody you know, you guys don't have your draft plans yet, man, come on, guys. What are you doing? If you're in the San Francisco area, you got to come with us. And if you guys are on social media, D'Amador Lenore just shared the 49ers Rush road trip flyer. That's right. Demo is going to be coming to our draft party. I'm so proud and honored. I've been telling you guys, I've been looking for a new favorite player on this 49ers roster because Drake Greenlaw's gone now. And I've been saying Demo's right up there. I don't think I have a choice anymore. Party with the faithful. Let's go. We're going to be at Broadway Studios over in North Beach area. From 4 to 9 p.m. or until the draft ends. We might go longer. We rented the place out for the entire evening, so we could stay and party and have a great time. We're going to be there Thursday, and we're going to be there Friday for days one and day two of the draft. D'Amador Lenore, you want to meet him, autograph, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be on day one. We've got big screens, trivia, giveaways, you name it. It's going to be incredible. Day two is going to be awesome. That's for the hardcore draft people. Big screens everywhere, NFL Network, ESPN, plus we're live broadcasting. You are going to be covered. 49ers-centric coverage, nonstop. I'm so pumped, man. Get to meet D'Amador Lenore? What? Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets now. All right, man. I'm so excited. comment of the day, NY Niners. I checked Twitter, and best I could tell, none of our players have been shot so far, so that's a thumbs up. We're staying with the positive. And I'm not trying to joke and belittle what happened, but like that's how bad the offseason was last year. It was just, man, things were just rough. Things were just rough. And so now, any positive news is good news. Any positive news is good news. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You guys are the best. David says, morning, John. Can tomorrow even hurry up? Tomorrow's a long day. The draft, I remember, I don't remember whenever I started watching the draft, but I do remember very vividly because I was at a certain home where I was living at the time. I was 12. I remember 12 years old watching the draft and switching channels. My stepdad at the time had like one of those hardcore satellites that looked like, you know, contacted alien space invaders. And we always used to trick my sister that there was an alien space station behind. She would get mad and have nightmares. That was terrible. Sorry about that, Nikki. But anyway, like we had like he was kind of into conspiracy theories and whatever else. And we had like the 500 channel whatever thing from a young age. And so I remember switching. Right. You remember you used to have to switch channels to go to the second or third round. What I remember, I was 12 and I was watching. I loved college football back in the day. So I knew a lot of those players. The draft is where I found my, I don't want to say extreme fandom because I love the Niners since I was 9. Right. That story, which I've shared several times, like the Jerry Rice jersey for Christmas. That was where my fandom was born. But the draft took it to a whole new level because we were huge into trading cards growing up, and we would carry our binders, right? You remember the three-ring binders with the loose-sleeve notebooks and all that stuff? We would walk to school, and we would carry them. We'd wear our starter jackets even when it was 110 degrees outside in Texas heat with our binders, just sweating like crazy. And we'd go to the ramp loading section where they would unload all the lunches and breakfast and food stuff at the store, and we would just lay out our binders. And we would have a binder for college football and a binder for NFL football. And we would trade cards nonstop. And then when the draft came up, we would get out our college cards and we would memorize the stats on the back of the college games, right? You remember the 4-sport cards? I mean, I hope some of this nostalgia is hitting for some. And we would just memorize it. So when the draft came, yeah, we were 12, 13. But we knew what the hell we were talking about as far as stats, height, weight. Oh, this player, you know, he had his best game against something. Like, man, we were doing that from kids. And I hate that I get prime time. Day 3 is my favorite day because you don't have to wait all day, right? The draft doesn't start till 5 p.m. Pacific time. Imagine being on the East Coast and start till 8. Oh, man, I'm so excited, so excited, so excited. Craig, Frankie, appreciate the super chat. My friend, you are awesome. And I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, we did a ridiculous amount of work on prospects. This wasn't one of them. I know who he is. He says, John, have you looked at Patrick Jenkins, defensive tackle, Tulane? He is not a player that was in my 343. I'm looking at the beast, Dane Brugler. He has him ranked as his 91st defensive tackle out of Tulane. Didn't do a full draft write-up on him. Dane Brugler didn't either. A small guy, 6'1", 287, 4'9", 40. Quick burst. Love that. 32-inch arms like that. A lot of positives. But, yeah, he'd be an undrafted free agent guy. But, again, I cannot sit here. I have watched Caleb Ransaw, the safety. But, yeah, I cannot give you more than that. But probably going to be an undrafted free agent type target, which the Niners got to, they got to hit on those. They got to hit on those. Thank you, Drea Sports. And again, go check out Drea Sports channel. We are so lucky as 49ers fans. I consider myself a fan. We have so much content that you get to find your flavor. And I hope that you give, you know, newer channels or whatever. Like people always ask me like, man, how do you do this? And like, how do I do this? And I'm like, man, I got lucky. I work really, really hard. I stay true to like my personality, which is positive, fan, and excitement, and coaching. Like that's my wheelhouse. I don't know if I started right now if it would work out. I'd like to hope it would, but man, please support all the channels out there. See what you like, and if they're putting out positivity and stuff, so easy to promote those guys. So easy to promote those guys. So shout out to you, Drea. Really appreciate you guys. Juice is there. Yeah, I'm a little behind in the chat. I'm trying to catch up here. I'm scrolling down, but that's okay. Right here, Floyd. I miss the days where the draft was Saturday and Sunday all day. Made a pot of chili and just nerded out. Yeah, that's way back. What is that? Radio City Music Hall. Then they started moving it around, and this year it's at Green Bay. We've got some really close friends that are out there partying. Shout out to the Gatton Bros. Love you guys. Wish I was there with you, but you know we're going to be having a good time in San Francisco. But yeah, look at this. Connor, excited, but 3 a.m. in the UK for our pick, and that's if we don't trade down. Whew. That is spicy. That is spicy. That's all I got to say. So let's transition now, and let's talk about what I project the 49ers big board to be. And again, yes, probably wrong, but that's okay. Let's have this discussion. Let's go through this, and let's try to figure out what some of those would be and what some of those probably are, right? Now, I've removed a lot of just the, you know, I'm not putting Travis Hunter on there. I'm not putting Abdul Carter on there. I'm not doing those guys because I really don't think there's a possibility. The newest player that's number one on my big board, Mason Graham. He's been on there, and he's the one player that I would consider trading up for, even though I don't want to trade up. But now people, Todd McShay put him falling to the 11th on his recent mock draft. Like, there's a possibility. And again, it goes back to this caveat. Offensive tackles, edge rushers, and quarterbacks always get pushed up. Always. Every single year. And I've probably gotten the most hate on my Kelvin Banks score, projection, whatever. I don't think Kelvin Banks is even going to be available at 11. I don't think he is. I think Ashton Jeanty goes earlier than we think. I think Kelvin Banks is going 10 to the Bears. And I put money on that one. That's one of the draft. Like, I think that's a perfect fit. And for the guy that values offensive line more than anybody else in the NFL, I'm telling you, he's going to be high on Kelvin Banks. But whatever. I'm saying for the first time, it seems like there is a possibility that you could highlight a path. Now, there's a lot of jukes and jives in there. For Mason Graham falling a little bit, I would love that. And so if Mason Graham is there, you run that pick in. You might even jump up a couple spots to make that. But I prefer to trade back. I prefer to stay at 11. But Mason Graham, if you traded up for him, I'd be so happy. I would be so happy to get Mason Graham. Like, that's a run the card. Now, the worst situation that I can think of, and again, I have to credit Rob Lauder with planting this little nightmare nugget inside my head. Imagine Mason Graham falls to 11, and then the 49ers pick Shamar Stewart. Like, that is my, oh, dude, don't tell me that. Like, that hurts. We were joking about it, texting back and forth, but like, ooh, that just cuts me to my core. I don't like it. But number one on my big board, Mason Graham, and this is a predictive big board. This is not what I would do. This is what I think the 49ers have. Number two, and again, this is seems to bother people, Mikael Williams. With what Kyle Shanahan talked about at the press conference, our value at the edge position is guys who can set the edge. Nobody does that better than Mikael, not Shamar Stewart. Everybody talks about how great Shamar Stewart is in the run game. I don't think they understand what that means. He has no awareness. Guys get around him. He loses contain consistently in every single game I've ever watched because he just runs as hard as he can, straight into the offensive tackle, and guys just walk around him. That's why he can't get sacks or tackles or tackle for losses, whatever else. Pressures he can do. And I do have Shamar Stewart on my list here. But one, Mason Graham. Two, Mikael Williams. Three, Armon Mimbu. I think that he is a perfect fit at right tackle. I think that if they drafted Mimbu, you just plug and play him at right tackle. I think he is perfect for the 49ers scheme. And again, going back to Jeff's comment earlier about 10-year players, that's a 10-year player. Plug and play. It just boom, boom. You just sub him in. Built like Adam Peters. I'm sorry, Jason Peters. Adam Peters, big dude, but different build at Washington. But Armon Mimbu would be my number three. Will Campbell would be my number four. I think for a lot of teams, Will Campbell is not a tackle, but for us, he would be. And it's just best player available at a need. You plug him at left guard. when Trent retires, you could bump him at left tackle. You bump him at right tackle. He could do whatever. And our scheme, and that's why when people are like, oh, he's a guard. That's not a negative in the 49ers scheme. That's not. Again, you remember they draft Jalen Moore, and then the post-draft press conference, oh, we're going to play him at guard. Dude's played tackle for the 49ers his whole career. Now he goes to $15 million a year for the Chiefs and probably going to play tackle for them. There's not a big bifurcation between guard and tackle play for the 49ers. There's really, really not. Will Campbell could play both. Number five would be Walter Nolan. Not for me, for the 49ers. I think that he fits so much. And again, the two most likely guys that are going to be there at 11 is Mikael Williams and Walter Nolan. And both of them fit. I'm lower on Nolan than most, but I think that he fits that Chris Kucerik defensive tackle thing that he loves, that GTFO. Again, John Lynch talked about that a lot. I wish they valued offensive line more, but that's okay. I have Kelvin Banks six. I really am high on him, and I'm sorry. I know a lot of people in this chat don't like him. Dude's going to go really high. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe Kelvin Banks falls. I don't think he will. Does that mean I was wrong on him, right? Like, last year, I was talking to you guys nonstop about Zach Frazier. And everybody told me, nonstop, too early, can't go center, don't do that. How'd that pan out? Dude's already Pro Bowl level center after 1 year. So, and that's another thing. It's like, does the draft position justify your take? Not necessarily. The play does. But shoot, Creed Humphrey, I was barking up the tree on that one. And freaking Juergens just got signed. Those are the two highest paid center. Last three Super Bowls were won by Cam Juergens, Creed Humphrey. Now, I understand the quarterbacks and it's a lot more. It's a team sport. But I'm just saying, I really wish the 49ers would value center. And I think that there are certain types of offensive line profiles that I am probably better at grading than I am other positions. Like my wide receivers, I've been off, but wide receivers are always hunky-dory. You know what I mean? They're whatever. And the Eagles, who I think are the best drafted team in the NFL, you remember they took Jalen Reagor while Justin Jefferson was still on the board. So nobody's perfect at all. But I do think if I was, what is the position I could scout the best? It would be center. It would be offensive line. I feel like I've been very consistent with those. And I feel like, again, if I was a pound the table guy and you invited me into the 49ers draft meetings and they said, John Chapman, get on the table, tell us the three players you're convicted about, Kelvin Banks Jr. would be one. And in the past, I've been asked, okay, go back through your scouting process. What are your misses? What are your hits? What have you learned? The thing that I've learned is when there's an elite trait and somebody is the best at something in that draft class, don't discount it, embellish it. Like, that should, like, make it count for more. And whenever I look at Kelvin Banks Jr., he is the best blocking in space offensive lineman in this draft, regardless of position. You ask him to get to the second level. You want him pulling and get on screens. You want him blocking downfield on a safety, on a wide leak. Well, he can't go downfield on safety on a wide leak, but a screen pass or a jet sweep or whatever. He's the best. It might be the best the last two or three drafts combined. And the athleticism, sometimes he waist bends. I get. But what is the trait of 49ers linemen that they have to do something more than any other team? Block in space. Split zone. Inside zone. Whatever you want to call it. All those screens. I'm telling you. And the fact that he played in the Texas offense, which is the exact same thing as far as college goes, Kelvin Banks is number six on my big board. And if he was available at 11, that's probably who I would pick over everybody but Mason Graham. I have Armand Membu higher, but like, again, my big board would be Mason Graham on this list. Mason Graham, Membu, Banks. That would be my top three. For the 49ers, I have Mason Graham one, Mikael Williams two, Armand Membu three, Will Campbell four, Walter Nolan five, Kelvin Banks six, Shamar Stewart seven. Again, this is what I think the 49ers big board is. Yeah, Ed, right here. That is an argument. Chad says, I disagree on that. Simmons was super impressive in his movement. He is. He moves better than Banks. But the thing about Banks is his contact at the third and second level. That is what gets me. He does the little things right all the time and just engages better at the second, third level. Like Jake Brindle, why does he drive me crazy? He has no functional strength, right? He could get to all of the second and third level blocks, but it's just two-hand touch, and then he watches him make a tackle. My favorite thing about Banks is not only does he get to the second and third level, but he engages and continues to stay engaged. It's uncanny. I don't have a problem saying Simmons moves better. I would still prefer Banks, but again, this is opinion. And if I'm not, Chad, you stick to your guns on that, right? That's where I'm at. Now, at Shamar Stewart 7, what do you do with John Lynch's statement of, at some point, the lack of production doesn't lie? Shamar Stewart has the worst production of any defensive tackle, defensive end, or even linebacker rushing the passer. Like, there are several linebackers, almost all of them, have more sacks than Shamar Stewart. He's number 50 on my big board, right? But here on the 49ers, he fits a need. Chris Kucerik values these guys. I'm not the biggest Chris Kucerik fan. I like him. I love his coaching style. I would never allow him to have any type of say-so on personnel, but that's just me. You want to hear him out and the things that he likes, so that's why I have him here. And he's the highest on my big board of guys that don't have flags. So at number 8, I have Derek Hartman, who I would have had higher, but now there's multiple sources saying he's got a red flag medical. So that's why I have asterisks on him. He's 8. If he didn't, I would have him 5 ahead of Walter Nolan. He's the best pass rusher in the draft at the defensive tackle position, and maybe the third best pass rusher regardless of position. Like, I think you go Abdul Carter, Mike Green, Derek Harmon. Like, he's that good of a pass rusher. Josh Simmons, 9, medical red flag. You know, Croc is huge. Eric Crocker's huge on Josh Simmons. What, shout out to BD and Peacock, and Croc. They're coming out day one. So not only do you get to meet D'Amador Lenore, but Crocker and Peacock coming out too. Have a drink with those fellows. Chop it up. That's going to be fun. So cool that those guys are coming out. And I appreciate the shout out they gave me on their show. They're freaking awesome. They are awesome. And then number 10, last one. Again, character red flag. There's asterisks on this one. Mike Green. So my 10-person big board concludes with number 8, medical red flag, Derek Harmon, Josh Simmons, medical red flag, and the character red flag, Mike Green. That's my 10-person 49ers big board. Macy Graham 1, Mikael Williams 2, Minbu 3, Will Campbell 4, Walter Nolan 5, Kelvin Banks 6, Shamar Stewart 7, and then Derek Harmon, Josh Simmons, Mike Green. If I had to predict, Mikael Williams I think is going to be the pick. I just think he's there. Spots are still left. We have room. Seating's always first come, first serve. And so we will have some standing room available. So, I mean, you show up early, you get your ticket, you're going to get a seat. And we're going to combine parties so that as many people can sit down as possible. But, yeah, there are tickets still available, 49ersrushroadtrip.com, day 1 and day 2. It's going to be a blast. And if you got a little one, kids get in free. You want them to be a fan, bring them out. We're going to give them free merch. We're going to hook them up. We're going to give them football cards. Like, we're trying to build the community the right way around experience and positive interactions with fans. That's just what it should be. So anyway, that is there. Now, if you think you know who the 49ers are going to pick, we are doing our pick the pick little giveaway thing, which is fun. Yeah. Basically, you email us your 10 players that you think the 49ers will draft. I don't care about rounds. I just want 10 names. And whoever gets the most right wins. If there's a tie, let's say 3 different people get 4 correct, whoever submitted their email the earliest, tie goes to them. We're going to send some stuff, maybe a jersey or a hat or some shirts, stuff out to the winner. But here's what you got to do. You just email us 49ersrush.pickthepicks@gmail.com. And again, it's in the link, if you forget the email, is in the description of this audio or video. 49ersrush.pickthepicks@gmail.com. Just submit 10 names. We'll go through once the draft is all said and done. And there you go. That's what you're going to get. So 49ersrush.pickthepicks@gmail.com. Mikael Williams would be on my list. I would put Mikael Williams, Walter Nolan for the first round. Second round, I'm going JT Tumalau because I think he fits if they go defensive tackle early. I'm going Darius Alexander. Like, I think if he falls, that's a perfect defensive tackle the second round. So that's four of mine. You can steal him if you want, but you got to understand strategy. Other people are listening to this as well, so that's going to play into that. But, yeah, excited to look through all of those submissions and kind of what that looks like. Now, if you want to know more about the draft, if that's what you want to do, one place to learn more about the draft this year.
It is time. The 2025 49ers Rush Draft Book is available. It's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. 343 players overall, broken down every single thing that you could ever want to know about any player, who our Rush Crush players are, what their metrics are, what their analytics are, PFF grades, film breakdowns, alignment, do they play in the slot, do they play out wide, were they free safety, background. We break down academic reports, injury reports, on off the field reports, not one but two player comps for each player, where they're expected to go, where we think we're going to go, and a 49ers fit score for all 343 players. You want to see where they're ranked on a NFL style big board war room style? Man, we have them broken down with flagged players, whether they're rush, crush, character, injury, off the field, you name it. Plus, we have our top 61 through 60 players ranked. And if you want to get even more in depth, we have charts. Elusive rankings, havoc ratings, drop ratings, you name it. You want to pull up running backs and you want to sort by the fastest 40 with the longest wingspan for each position. That is all available. Go to 49ers, the49ersrush.com, and it's up there on our player breakdowns. It's right there. Free to all subscribers. Patreon, if you're a subscriber, head over there. Access, it's already loaded. But if you don't want to subscribe because you really want to just make sure you just want a one and done, $20 on our Patreon page. You can pay for it. It's there. Go support. Go support. So much time went into this. Go get it now. The 49ers 2025 Rush Draft page is out.
All right. Now let's talk about trades. Everybody wants to trade back. And you even heard, you know, John Lynch said, you know, I think a lot of teams are trying to trade back. I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement, whatever else. Like, yeah, I want to trade back. Third round is home runs. I love the third round. If you could do anything to get more third round picks, I would do it. I don't care how far you have to fall back. Now, the 49ers don't pick this high that often. Somebody has to go number 11. Is there going to be a trade partner? Well, my main man, David R., put together a really cool list where he went through different positions and why teams would want to trade up. And so let's go through those, okay? Based on how the draft falls, let's say an offensive tackle falls to 11. Whether that's, I know you all hate Kelvin Banks, but whether that's Kelvin Banks, Will Campbell, Mimbu, I don't care. One of the three fall at 11. I think there's two teams that have drastic needs at offensive tackle, and they're kind of stuck. And that's Miami and Houston. It's Mike McDaniel and guess who? D'Amico Ryans. Talk about Kyle Shanahan not valuing offensive line. Well, his disciples, they've got major needs there too. The scheme does make it better, but man, Miami's picking at 13, which is just two spots behind us. And like, man, they have pick 98. So like 13 and 98, it's a background compensation pick. That equals almost ideally. That is a home run trade for both teams. So Kelvin Banks falls, Miami and 49ers swap spots. They jump ahead of Dallas, who could go offensive tackle. I doubt they do, but that is a possibility. Houston picks at 25. Now, that one, to trade up for an offensive tackle, they're going to have to give up a future first, like to get that high. So I don't think that that one's likely, but I do think – sorry, I'm getting a call from an agent. I don't think that's likely, but that is a team that would want to trade up. I really, really do believe so. Now, what about wide receiver? And probably my favorite trade parameter is the Seattle Seahawks wanting to jump up for Tet McMillan. I like Tet McMillan. And I think he's a good player. But, man, the numbers work out perfectly. And guess what? For those of you that are screaming, don't trade in the division. The Niners trade in the division all the time during the draft. They've done it multiple times. Multiple times. So, trading back from 11 to 18 and all the extra picks they got for DK Metcalf and Geno Smith, it works perfectly. You would get 18, 82, and 92. So you get two third rounders. The points work out perfectly. Like, if I could have one thing, if the Niners did that trade, I would not care if you took Shamar Stewart at 18, right? I doubt he's there, but like, even if you took the player I dislike the most, if you get those two extra third rounders, I don't give a damn. You take Will Johnson, you take Josh Simmons, medical red flags, character, I don't care. I don't think the 49ers would do that, but even if they did, I would not care because you got those two third round picks, and I think that's huge. Sorry, I just got a text here real fast. So the wide receiver, that would be huge. Again, I doubt that is the case, but like if I could have one trade, like John Chapman, let's say all these trades are available. You get to pick which one you want. I'm taking this one. Falling back to 18, and from 18, you can get Will Nolan. You can get, Derek Harmon. You can get whatever you want at that spot. I would be so happy. Plus those two third rounders. I would be so happy about that. Tight end. If Tyler Warren goes super early and Colston, like teams are crazy high on Colston Loveland. The Colts are super high on tight end. They're trying to help out their quarterbacks to figure out what they need. They have a solid roster, but just whatever. Maybe Colts jump from 14 to 11 for a tight end. We saw the Rams try to trade up last year for Brock Bowers. Didn't work out. Possible, right? They're picking 14. So you'd fall back three picks, the Colts, and you could pick up some other picks and fourths and future or whatever. Little less likely. And then running back. I don't see Ashton Jeanty getting out of the top six. I think Jacksonville probably takes him at 5. I think a team could trade up to 4 and get Jeanty. I think if Jacksonville doesn't, then the Raiders at 6 take him. But if for somehow, some way, Jeanty falls, and maybe even Omari and Hampton, which I think he will be there for sure when we pick. If a team wants a running back, you got to get ahead of the Cowboys at 12. Have to. They're taking them. They're taking a running back or a wide receiver. So if you want to guarantee, like you look at teams, Dallas wants to jump up a spot, or you want to go all the way down from Denver. Now, Benjamin Albright, who's obviously locked into the Broncos, says no way they're trading up for a running back, but God, that would be awesome. If Jinty's there, I think they would trade up for him. And then you would get a haul. If for some reason Ashton Jeanty falls to 10, you're getting a haul of picks. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think he goes 4, 5, or 6. He's just too clean a player in a draft that doesn't have blue chippers. Like, there's 3 blue chip guys in this draft, in my opinion. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Ashton Jeanty. Like, those are the 3. You want to throw Mason Graham in there? Cool. You want to throw Cam Ward in there? Cool. But that's it. There is nobody else after that. So if one of those falls, which I don't think they will, that's there. So, but the idea is, as we go through this, these are the players you're hoping the situations happen. If you're a trade back guy, or girl or whatever, this is exactly what you want to happen. And then the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. I saw some conversations the 49ers should take Shedeur. I'm 100%. Out on that. I have a second round grade on him. He's good. He fits the Shanahan scheme. I love his decision-making process. I love his accuracy. I think he's a very good quarterback. And again, this goes back to my personal philosophy, right? Like, guys like Kirk Cousins, guys like, you want to throw Brock Purdy in there, guys like Mac Jones, I'm not drafting those guys in the first round. I love Brock Purdy. I love Kirk Cousins is good. I don't love Kirk Cousins. But like those types of guys, I think you can get those guys later. If I'm taking quarterbacks in the first round, one, you already have Brock Purdy, so it doesn't make much sense to me. You're going to pay him. What was Kyle Shanahan saying? I want Brock Purdy to be the quarterback as long as I'm the head coach of the 49ers. Like, Yeah, it's happening. But I want elite traits if I'm trading up for a quarterback or if I'm taking a quarterback. I'm swinging for the fences at quarterback all the time because, one, they're 50-50 anyway. And if you get one of those guys, I don't think Shadur's him. And there's a possibility Shadur doesn't even go number two at the quarterback position, but likely. But if for some reason he does fall, I can't see Shadur making it past nine. The Saints are taking a quarterback. I'm pretty confident. But maybe they don't. Somebody trades up for a quarterback with us. Pittsburgh at 21. That would be nice. The Rams, how long are they going to roll with this? You know, Stafford, there's a contract or a retirement issue every single year. Those are the possibilities. The Rams just are a long shot for sure, but they're crazy, man. They tried to trade up last year for Brock Bowers. Like, they are crazy. They're the wild card of the draft every single year. But yeah, it's just the lack of elite traits. And so that's huge. You know, you have everybody talking about how badly the interviews are, but I'm not in those interviews, so it's whatever. But, and I hate how, I don't know. I'm not out on, where do I have him? I have a second round grade on him. He's my number two quarterback. I have Shadur. Now, again, they always get pushed up. He's my number 41 player. But there's so many quarterback needy teams. The 49ers aren't one of them. And especially with the signing of Mac Jones, your one and two are set. So, yeah, it's what it is. And so, like right here, Eric says, you can't take Dart before Shadur. Well, if you value traits, which half the teams do, then you do take Dart beforehand because he has a stronger arm, he's faster, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's more mobile. Now, the toughness and accuracy, like what do teams value? It's a half and half. I do believe that Shanahan would be higher on Shadur than Dart. I do believe that, but it's a beauty is in the eye of the beholder thing whenever it comes to quarterbacks. And so I take that for whatever you want there. Yeah, Krug loves Riley Leonard. And I'm all for taking a quarterback in this draft for the 49ers, but late day three, probably seventh round. And I would want somebody that's a height, weight, speed specimen. You've got two decision makers. Take a chance on a guy like a Joe Milton, right? Like, man, I'm big on that. Like, I'm huge on that. But that's kind of where we're at. So anyway, there's some trade situations. But here's what I want to end the show with, okay? I didn't even have this in my notes. What is the draft about? What is fandom about? Now, my dad, like every summer I spent time, and my dad lived in Atlanta. He was apartment construction and we, you know, build apartments all day, but he had season tickets to the Braves ever since I could remember. And I went to hundreds and hundreds of Braves games. Now my dad, this focuses on me. My dad was awesome, but he was a drunk and he was an angry fan. And especially the more he drank, the more angry he got. We got kicked out of, I don't know, 30 to 40 Braves games in my time. Not because of me, I was little, but my dad would have too many and he would start, you know, cussing out players and whatever else. And he was like the major league fan, like whenever you're up five and you're like, oh, we'll blow it in the night. Like, that's just who he was. And I always used to just say, like, Dad, you're so miserable here. Like, you're so miserable here. Like, why don't you enjoy this? Here are my two bits of fandom. It's great to be passionate. It's great to care. It's great to be involved and to put a stake in these decisions and all those things. And again, this is coming from the guy that, you know, whatever we picked, the kicker, I put up this face right here, right? Care. But at the end of the day, this is supposed to be fun. And this is supposed to be enjoyable. And one of the core tenets of, you know, when we started the 49ers Rush podcast 9 years ago, tomorrow. I forgot about that. 9 years ago tomorrow, 1,400 episodes later. Gosh, I'm very thankful, very lucky. Thank you all for supporting me. Was I want to create a better fan experience and a positive fan experience. And a lot of that comes from my childhood. So, yeah, there's going to be picks. There's going to be decisions. There's going to be players left on the board that are going to piss us off. But at the end of the day, once this weekend ends, the 49ers are going to add 9 to 13 more 49ers family members. And I'm going to do my best, and I hope that you do the same, to not tear these guys down and to not allow like anger and hate and all those things. Allow this to be fun. And even if you don't like prospects, like I remember when we drafted Cam Latu and I was just like, this guy's not good at football. But I have to record shows and talk about it. Like I struggled being like, he can't block. He can't catch. He's not tough. He's very soft. I don't understand it. But the 49ers liked him. And everybody's like, well, they know more than you. They know more than you. They know more. And I'm going to get those again. But give them chances. Because of who somebody was in the past does not always determine who they will be in the future. Yeah, it's a pretty good track record that things are going to be somewhat consistent. But let's give these players the benefit of the doubt. And I need you to remind me whenever I get pissed off, whether that's live, you know, day one or day two or day three, we're going to give our honest evaluation on this show. And yeah, let's say the 49ers pick Shamar Stewart and Mason Graham's on the board. Am I going to be pissed? Yeah. But Shamar's one of us now, right? So I'm going to be pissed, and there's going to be a lot of yeah buts, and there's going to be a lot of I don't get it, but he's one of us, and we always cheer for our team, right? It's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. I can't stand Mac Jones as a person. I can't stand him as a player. He's on our team. I hope that he balls out. And so it's a constant just refocusing and understanding one of us. One of us, right? Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I don't know. So enjoy the draft. It's very easy to be upset, and there's going to be a lot of voices out there that are just channeling nothing but negativity, nothing but anger, nothing but fire Shanahan, nothing but this regime's dumb, and nothing but draft bust. I'm not saying discount those. I'm saying try to limit those and how they affect you and your fandom. You chose to spend time here with me, and I am forever grateful and honored to be the smallest part of whatever the hell this is. But I just hope that you allow the process to play out and get behind these young men, because they are young men. And now with COVID exemptions and stuff, some of these guys are 24, 25, but like they're one of us now. And I truly do believe, you know, with this rush road trip stuff and going to all the games and being around people all the time, this is the best fan base. It's freaking awesome. Does it have its flaws? Yeah. And whenever you have 65 plus podcasts and whatever else, not a bad thing. You're going to get some of those. But this is awesome. We get to add players to our family, to the legacy that is the red and gold. And man, let's try our hardest to get behind them. I'm not saying false, whatever, bootlicker mentality. That's not me either. But this is awesome, man. I freaking could not be more excited. It is 10:57. We got the drafted, you know, 24 hours and change. Can't wait. I really hope you come out with us. And if you do come out with us, please take a chance to say hi to me if you listen to the show. My opportunity, whenever I get to meet somebody that listens to the show, because you see these red cheeks all the time. You hear the voice. I don't get to see you. I don't get to hear you. And the few opportunities that I get to come into face-to-face interactions, which I value very, very much, just take a moment. Say hi, introduce yourself, and allow me to thank you, because I hope gratitude comes across when we talk about this show. And it's not just me. And, you know, I have to give shout out to, you know, people that are making this draft event happen. The mattressguyco.com, man, you want to recycle a mattress? San Francisco fan, listens to the show. Amazing company, amazing man, doing things ethically, environmentally responsible ways. Go to the mattressguyco.com. They service the entire San Francisco area. Knees Up Venues, another listener of the show, helped us book Broadway Studios. Niners fan, just freaking awesome. And then if you come, you're going to get the best food ever from boardappetitecart.com. Niners fans, listen to the show. Whenever I said it on one show, we're looking for people that want to, you know, cater this event. Freaking, it was just perfect. Diehard Niner fans, listen to the show. You're going to be fed right, charcuterie board style. Oh, man, this weekend's going to be incredible. I'm so thankful. And guys like Rusty and David, thank you guys. So, next 24 hours, have fun. Get excited. It's okay. Limit your caffeine, maybe. but, man, enjoy this. Who knows? The next Hall of Famer. The 49ers have drafted not one, but two Hall of Fame players in the NFL at pick 11. Leo the Lion Nominelli and Patrick Willis. Maybe the third is this year. Maybe. Anyway, can't say thank you enough, and I really do appreciate you allowing me this time. And, man, come out, party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Until next time, we'll be live during the draft. Can't wait for it. Take care, faithful.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.